We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Colm Kelly here, the executive producer of the RotoViz Radio Podcast Network and co-host of the RotoViz Overtime Podcast, along with the phenomenal Sean Siegel. The wait is over, the NFL season is here, and there's no better time than the present to sign up for a RotoViz NFL Pass. You'll get access to all of our content, all of our tools, and everything you need to help you for that in-season success. As a loyal podcast listener, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL Pass just by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. Let's go get those championships. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Brace a tackle, watch out! Burst of speed! Look at this freshman!
Welcome to the home of professional football, Canton, Ohio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the College to Canton podcast, the perfect show for any and every college football and NFL fan. I'm your host, Travis May, and you can find me on Twitter at FF_TravisM if you like talking some football. And I'm joined by my co-host, Stéphane Lecoe. You can find him on Twitter at Stéphane Lecoe. We've been going back and forth, trading episodes early and later in the week here for you, but thought we'd add another one with both of us on it, just to talk some college football together and take a look ahead at some of the NFL draft prospects that are already rising and falling this season. We'll have another NFL episode here for you later this week. And, you may have noticed, but we kind of go back and forth, but sometimes we'll have both on the same show. Sometimes we'll have more NFL. Sometimes we'll have more college, but that's what we do here. Because if you're joining us for the first time, the College to Canton is just a show really about the journey of the best football players, not just in college, not just in the NFL, but in the world, from their journey as a football recruit in high school through college, through the NFL draft process and beyond, all the way to the debate as to whether they should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we always throw in some fantasy football goodness because this is a RotoViz Radio podcast, but we always make sure to dive into some real football too. Even if you don't like playing fantasy football, you'll probably still enjoy this show. But Stéphane, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I had a fun weekend. My wife was out of town, she still is out of town. I had about 6 different screens going, watching a lot of football. It was Degenerateville. It was beautiful and wonderful all at the same time. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great, man. When you can just watch a lot of games. I was actually kind of traveling a little bit myself. 2 weekends in a row where I actually had out-of-town weddings, people being kind of crazy and having a fall wedding. Man, it's football time, right? Like, what are you thinking? But no, it's great. It was actually out in Utah. I got to see one of my fantasy football nerd buddies, Zach Marmer. So it was good to hang out with him. If you know of any weddings out near Boulder, I can come visit you.
Yeah, come crash them.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited just to kind of just break some college football prospects down because, I mean, this year, like this time of year is where we see all these top players that are going to make a name for themselves in the 2022 NFL draft especially. Just start to explode. And yes, we see some true sophomore breakouts, and we'll get to some of those. Yes, we see the rare true freshman breakouts, but the guys, you know, out of left field or guys that we didn't quite have at the top of our draft boards, but just start to go off. Like, you know, guys like the Zach Wilson's rise to fame, or the Joe Burrows. I mean, it's easier to think of the top quarterbacks that get that first round early draft capital. But there are players at every single position who are rising and some that are unfortunately falling in terms of their draft capital and the draft stock. So let's just jump in right now and talk about some of the rising stars and falling stars in college football that we may have had super high preseason and may have had super low, but guys were pretty confident one way or the other just through 3 weeks. So kicking it over to you, just the first name that I am really trying to control myself and not just rank him number one overall in Debbie. Matt Corral of Ole Miss has really cleaned things up from a decision-making standpoint. He always had the tools. He almost had the analytical profile, except for the fact that, you know, he blew up in two games last year and tossed like all of his picks at the same time. But are you buying in on the Matt Corral that just dropped 7 touchdowns this past weekend?
Well, it was funny when you were talking about Zach Wilson kind of rising up out of nowhere and all of a sudden he's getting selected number 2 overall and he's super high in super flex leagues. I like, yeah, that, I think Matt Corral is, I think that's what we're seeing right here. He has, I mean, you mentioned the touchdowns this week, but he has yet to throw an interception through 3 games. I think that was one of the things that we were most worried about with that decision making. And if you look back at like his game logs from earlier years, he wasn't throwing a ton of interceptions earlier. It was really just those 2 games last year. And it makes you wonder if those are kind of outliers or not. So I am wanting to buy in. Ole Miss last year was a team that I became just like a really big fan of just because I love offense. I like my favorite game of the weekend was Virginia versus UNC just because it was a bonanza. It was so much fun. But Matt Corral, he looks the part. I mean, he's not huge. He's only like, what, 6'1", 200, maybe 210. Yeah. But we've seen a lot of quarterbacks of that size kind of have success in the league now. He's not like sub 6 foot, so I think it's still okay. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I don't know how high he's going to get drafted, but he's going to go in the first round, right?
I feel like at this point, I mean, last year, if had it not been for his 2 terrible blow-up games where he just kind of got away from himself, he was pacing for a first round profile. Like really, if you just look at his analytical, like passing efficiency numbers, even with all those picks in those 2 games, he still had like an 85th percentile passing efficiency season. And that's throwing like 5 picks in a game, like twice.
Yeah.
Seriously. So,
and he has the rushing profile that you
he
like.
He does. I mean, I've talked about it this summer, like NFL is just done with statues. And I know people like to poke fun at the analytics that like to emphasize the importance of rushing production at the quarterback position. But let's face it, guys, there are not going to be very many immobile quarterbacks that are going to find success in today's league. We're already seeing it less. And once the old statues that are just living off of experience leave the league, there's really going to be nobody left at all. So it matters. And so a guy that has like, you know, last year, about 22% or so of Ole Miss's rushing yards, and he's on pace for something similar now. I actually just talked about him this week in my NFL Prospects Weekly over at RotoViz, because if you put his analytical profile, what he's pacing for this season, passing wise, right next to his rushing production, his numbers are actually almost identical to peak Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech. So not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but it is just interesting looking at how similar they were and how they really play the game with that kind of gunslinger mentality, with the mobility in college.
Yeah, I think for me, ask me this same question 2 weeks from tonight, right after he's played Alabama, and I think we'll have a pretty good idea. Cause I don't expect him to like pick apart Bama, but if he does, if he's able to make good decisions, if he's able to show us that he's matured in that part of the game, it's going to be hard for me to find. I mean, we're going to talk about some of these other quarterbacks possibly. It's going to be hard for me to find someone that I like a whole lot more than him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Matt Corral, obviously one of the big rising names. Let's talk about a few quarterbacks that we're worried about that are at least dropping a little bit down our ranks probably right now. And number one, I mean, I've been dropping him even in the preseason, just as I dig more into his profile and look back at how he succeeded and why at USC. But Keaton Slovis, I think I dropped him way, you know, he was like a second round-ish in Superflex, Devy, for me at his peak. I dropped him all the way down to like a third or fourth, maybe preseason. Now he's continuing to drop. And honestly, he basically almost ruined our DFS slate because you and I, like, had him everywhere. But he got injured, but the rest of our slate was, the rest of our player pool was so freaking good, we made money anyway. But Keaton Slovis went down and Jackson Dart did incredible. So I think there's actually going to be a legit conversation as to who should start. Keaton Slovis is okay. His injury is not bad. He's fine, but it's going to be weird if he just completely disappears after having such a strong start.
What do they say? The deja vu all over again? I mean, this is what happened to Daniels. You know, this is exactly how Slovis got his start at USC when that injury took place, and then he took over. So now it's happening to him. And I am curious if, I mean, I assume, I mean, I was reading up on the game, and they said they were going to try to get Jackson Dart some playing time in that game regardless. That was part of the game plan. So I'm curious to see what happens. I mean, he had the war paint going over that eye. I mean, he looked like a complete idiot, but also kind of awesome. and he's got the name. No, I do think it's an interesting question. Slovis is a guy that I wanted to succeed because I had acquired some shares for cheap. But I just don't know if it's going to happen. And when you see what Jackson Dart was able to do with those receivers, especially like look at Drake London, where he's just hauling in all these contested balls. Why wasn't Slovis able to do this? Why were they losing games to, why can't I remember who they lost to?
Stanford?
Stanford. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. The one that got Clay booted. Like they couldn't do anything against that defense. And it just makes you wonder what was going on. If it was simply a quarterback problem or scheme problem or coaching problem, I don't know, but Slovis wasn't helping himself, that's for sure.
And at this point, honestly, just because of how things have gone, even if Slovis fends off Dart and he has a decent finish to his college career here, it's going to be tough to project first-round capital for him. Just from a traits perspective, from a lack of super mobility perspective, like it's just going to be like he's looking more and more like a day two kind of profile. And for fantasy football, that doesn't really mean good things typically. If we look at recent capital hits, yes, there are exceptions like Jalen Hurts, but we like our guys to be early first round picks. And he's not looking like he's going to be that. And really, I mean, honestly, Jaden Daniels for Arizona State is not looking like that either. He did not look great against the Cougars this past weekend. Struggled last year in a smaller sample. We thought, okay, it's a COVID year. Give him a pass a little bit. But another guy who actually had a nice early peak in his first season, and now he's probably going to stay another year, and I'm not really certain that in his future.
Yeah, and I do wonder, like, they don't have any wide receivers, really.
No, they have negative amounts of wide receivers. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I wonder, like, okay, how much of that how much of the lack of production do we put on that? But it's just hard. Like he's thrown more picks than touchdowns. Like that's a problem, you know, and he hasn't done anything running the ball either. I think he's got he's averaging less than 10 yards a game. So he's just not being productive and effective. And it's not like they've had some like super tough schedule.
No.
And he's just not getting it done. So it is a bummer because he's someone that I really wanted to be excited about. And I thought he could be really fun for fantasy football because of those that freshman year was just so, so exciting. Yeah. And like he's already thrown more interceptions than his freshman and sophomore year combined.
Yeah, I will say, not ideal, but let's talk about his best wide receiver, who's actually a running back, shifting over back to guys who are rising up in their draft stock. Rashad White, again, looks like the best offensive player on that team. He was better than Diamante Tranum last year. I know a lot of people liked him because he was a true freshman and was finding production. He actually has been unhealthy 2 weeks in a row now. So maybe Tranum gets healthy and looks right here at some point. But Rashad White, he averaged like 9 yards a touch or something crazy last year and not as efficient this year, but still finding the end zone. Leads the team in receptions with 15. The next closest is 11. He leads the team in carries, leads the team in rushing yards, receiving yards, everything. Like he is that entire offense. He is the only good thing that's happening on offense for the Arizona State Sun Devils. So What do you think about him and his chances? I know he's kind of an older guy, but he has a fun profile now with two seasons. What do you think the chances are that he gets drafted day two next year?
Day two, I think that's asking a lot, but only because I kind of expect the trend to continue where only four guys are getting day two capital, and the other guy, like the fifth, like what we saw with Michael Carter, like the fifth running back taken is early day three. So I don't know if I see him quite making that jump. There's some other guys that we might talk about later that I'm more excited about. But Rashad White, I think I can say I need to take the L on this one, because I was one of the train him guys who was more into him than Rashad, but he's been absolutely balling out. And you were a little bit wrong. Like, he said 9 yards a touch last. It was actually 11. He had 11 yards.
Oh yeah, that's right. Maybe it's just 9 yards a carry or something silly. Like, he was
stupid, man.
He was insanely efficient. It was, you know, it was a smaller sample, only 4 games, but he was definitely impressive. So and really his first action with Arizona State. So I do believe there's a chance he gets. I think worst case, we're talking like fifth round capital for this guy at this point. He's averaging, you know, 110 plus yards from scrimmage on a team that's really struggling. If he does this all season long and shows to be an incredible dual threat, I mean, again, that is, you know, pulling, you know, about 25% of the team's receiving yards down the stretch. That's crazy, crazy for running backs. So I'm excited to see what happens there. I hope he actually maintains that kind of pace. But yeah, that's one of my favorite rising running backs, just because there are several guys that are kind of staying around doing about what we expected them to do. But guys that are especially like for next year, eligible for 2022, he's rising up the board. I just want to talk about one more quarterback before we kind of talk about running backs and wide receivers for most of the rest of this show. DJ Uiagalelei, you and I both love him quite a bit. We've ranked him highly all offseason after his incredible Boston College and Notre Dame games last year, and his pedigree and his size and his strength and his mobility and everything. He looked like he was the real deal. And then he shows up, does absolutely nothing against Georgia because, well, it's Georgia and their defense is lights out right now. But then he didn't really do anything incredible through the air the next two games. So I guess a lot of people are probably going to start having some questions as to whether he's just a big guy with a big arm, or is he a first round draft pick? Is he a first round quarterback prospect? And it's still probably way too early, but, you know, we tend to overreact. So do you think he's still on a path to early round, first round capital?
Ooh, the way you worded that question made me have to rethink my answer. I think he will be drafted in the first round. When the time comes, I'm assuming he, like, that is me assuming that this is kind of an outlier start to the season. I think Clemson is trying to find their identity as an offense, having lost Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne. I mean, those were the focal points of their offense for a while now. And so you've got a new quarterback and you've got these receivers that are kind of like any one of these big three guys, like Justin Ross, Nagata, or any of them, like, you want one of those guys on your team. I don't know if you want all three of them as your only wide receivers, because they're all that like 6'3", 210, 220. Like, they're all that same type of build. And I don't think they know what to do. And then they've got these running backs that they don't know how to utilize correctly. I mean, we finally got to see Will Shipley get more involved in the offense, and that will help. But again, it was more of as a banger right up the middle. And that's what they were doing with DJ as well. And so you look at his numbers, and he has 475 yards on the season. And that's one game against South Carolina State. I mean, it's disappointing. It's disappointing. And only one touchdown pass, unless you consider the pick six he threw to Georgia.
he's got two touchdown passes. He's splitting it between the competition and his team.
I'm concerned. I think Clemson is going to figure out what they want to do offensively. This Georgia Tech game, they just kept running the ball over and over again. They were playing. It looked like they were coaching scared and not asking DJ to do anything other than lower his shoulder for 3 yards and have Will Shipley get it for 3 yards.
Not great.
no, and maybe it's something to do with like the long break. like with the lightning delays and all that kind of stuff. I watched way too much of this game. It was tragically boring. I was like, what happened to like the Clemson I knew that had to put their punter out there at quarterback because they were just putting up too many points on Georgia Tech?
Yeah. But you mentioned it. Like they just have a different mix at wide receiver, different offensive set of skill position players. I mean, Will Shipley looked okay, and that's cool, but their running backs have been pretty abysmal outside of Shipley's last game for them. And you mentioned E.J. Williams, Frank Ladson. Those are guys who not many wide receivers are dropping for Devy purposes or in their NFL draft stock that that we were really high on. But I think we were just speculative, right? We thought, okay, so Justin Ross, Joseph Ngata, E.J. Williams, Frank Ladson. They're not all going to be on the field at the same time, so I want two or three of them. Maybe one of them, E.J. Williams and Frank Ladson have done nothing. And even Ngata, who's had success, isn't really consistently separating. And Justin Ross, that's never really been his game. So Uyanglele is just having to hit wide receivers who are never really that open. And then that's going to be tough sledding unless they can get more creative down the stretch. So I still think it's going to be a first round pick, but I do have questions. And with EJ Williams and Frank Ladson dropping, there's just not a whole lot to get excited about, which is weird when we're talking about Clemson. But let's talk about some more positive stuff, because there's tons of guys that are absolutely just smashing right now in the production category. Let's talk about some good wide receivers from your favorite game this past weekend. Josh Downs had 8 receptions for over 200 receiving yards and a couple scores this past weekend. And I'm not really that surprised. He has quickly become Sam Howell's go-to weapon. And he really has been dating back to the bowl game last year for North Carolina, where he grabbed 2 scores then. Josh Downs probably features more to be like a slot wide receiver in the NFL. But man, he is a fast like separator who can run routes crisply. Just analytically, he's already on pace to have a ridiculous mark for yards per team pass attempt and his dominator rating this year. And he's only a true sophomore, leading all Power 5 wide receivers in receiving yards. So really glad I got him in like round 24 of a deep Devy last year. So that's looking great right about now. But what are your thoughts on Downs?
Oh, I love him. That catch. Did you see that one touchdown catch where he just dove out to the back of the end zone? Was able to maintain possession.
He's
there being a shadow of a doubt. Like, dude is just really, really good. He's a good route runner. You mentioned that he's able, like, he's leading the league in total yards. I think Sam Howell has found someone that he can trust, and in that offense, that means a lot. I mean, we saw what both Daz and Diami were able to do last year, and now it looks like Downs is going to be getting a lot of that. So you know the production is going to be there at the end of the day, and he has the physical traits that I think he'll test well at the combine. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be, I mean, obviously, like you said, he's a true sophomore, so we're going to have to wait a while, but I can't imagine things going south for him.
No.
You know,
he's
even if good. May isn't a good quarterback next year, Downs will still be good enough that he'll have cemented himself. And
yeah, he'll have a
day one, day two,
really solid sophomore season on his resume with incredible peak production. So that's going to be enough to get him probably considered in day two. I don't think he's around one wide receiver right now, but he could work up into that range. I mean, he has the athleticism. He was already running in the 4.4s in high school, 4-star kid. In a great situation with a future first-round quarterback throwing him the ball all season. But you mentioned guys we're going to have to wait a little bit on. A guy we're going to have to wait quite a while on, but I am very excited about. You and I and most other Devy fantasy football nerds have been excited about this guy for a couple years already, and he just started his college career. Trevion Henderson of Ohio State dominated over 200 rushing yards and just – looked like, okay, hey, this is my job now, and I am just 18 years old. What's up, guys? I'm a 5-star talent. I'm going to be a future first-round running back. I found myself already rising him in my ranks all the way into the first round of Devy Fantasy Football drafts.
Yeah, I mean, the only negative on Henderson is the waiting time. Like, that's the only problem, is that you're not going to be able to use him for a while in Devy. Other than that, he ticks all the boxes. I mean, He can shoulder the load. He had explosive play after explosive play last week against Tulsa. And maybe you're thinking, oh, they're not a very good defense. Well, against Oregon, he looked really good too. Oregon's run defense is the strength of that team. And he was able to do quite a bit against them as well. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but I just think the sky's the limit for him. He's shown the ability to catch the football, and he moves so well in space. He's going to get the work. We know that.
Yes.
I think the fact that the defense at Ohio State is struggling the way it is only going to give him more opportunity and more touches. So I think it's just a matter of when for him. We know when, 2024, but that's kind of far away. But man, he looks the part. He definitely, he's living up to the hype.
Oh yeah. With already 433 yards from scrimmage in his first three collegiate games, it really is reminiscent of another Ohio State Buckeye and J.K. Dobbins. Coming in around a similar weight when they first joined college. But Henderson's frame, I think, can hold a little bit more and just really be a feature back in the NFL. So he's going to be a name that continues to rise and just keeps gaining steam down the stretch this year and beyond. He's going to be that player next year after the 2022 guys are gone. That's probably in the top three, top four overall kind of conversation once he puts an entire season together. But on the other side, we'll get to some more true freshmen guys breaking out, some more young wide receivers, even a couple tight ends before we wrap up the show. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I normally don't just kick off with the exact thing that I promised before the break, but I do want to get to a couple true freshman wide receivers that, one, I was high on coming into the season, and two, are already looking really good already, and I can't help but get excited about them. That is Deion Smith of LSU and Xavier Worthy of Texas. I don't want to say everything, so I'll let you start off with Deion Smith. Did you actually catch the LSU game at all this weekend? On you know, one of your six screens.
it didn't make the cut somehow. I was tracking it because I bet the over 61 in that game. So, and that was all because of LSU, and then watched the highlights afterwards. But yeah, so Deion Smith, I think we talked about him this offseason because he was a guy that I was able to get in a couple Canton to campus leagues. And he just had the recruiting profile that I love, you know. And he had the speed that I love. And so I was like, oh, yeah, let's try this. Because I, unlike other people not to be named on this podcast, I don't watch a whole lot of high school football. I don't track high school players like some people do. So I was kind of just going off of, off of other people's takes on him. But he looks really, really good. What do you think the ceiling is for him?
Oh, first round. Like he has the athleticism, he has the ability to clearly moss people in contested situations, and he was a guy that Orgeron was talking up even in the spring that we were just like, hey, he was just talking about like, hey, we just need to get Deion Smith more snaps, we need to get him more targets, and that was back in like April, and so when he's talking about that way about a freshman, that's a difference making kind of player. And yes, Brian Thomas had his kind of moment of fame, and Malik Nabers got talked up a little bit in fall camp. But Deion Smith was always the guy. He was, I think 70th overall or something in the entire nation as a recruit this year. He was the fastest wide receiver that they brought in among the four guys that were high pedigree guys. But somebody needed to step up next to Kayshon Boutte, and he smashed this past weekend for a couple scores that were both impressive. So I'm just pumped to see that role continue to expand. He's got
over a 20-yard ADOT right now. Like,
oh, it's insane.
Finding him deep.
It's exactly like how they use Ja'Marr Chase at times, you know? Just like, hey, you're better than the guy that's guarding you. We're going to chuck it to you, except he's like 18.
And he's going to be able, like you said, yeah, he's a freshman. He's going to be able to grow into his role in the offense. And especially, I think, as they find ways to utilize him and what works best for him and this team, I think it could be really exciting. I'm curious because like he hasn't run a whole lot of routes yet. I think he's only ran 34 routes. So as they play more games, obviously, I think he'll get a higher percentage of snaps. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how they utilize him in this offense, especially when they start going up against stiffer competition in the SEC. Chances are, if you're in a league and someone has him, they're also excited about him. So he might be hard to get in a trade, but he'd be someone that I'd be looking to acquire if possible.
Oh, absolutely. Just because I think even if you quote unquote buy high right now, you're still probably buying low long term on the potential that Deion Smith brings with him. And really, the only reason he hasn't run a ton of routes at this point is because I don't know why Coach O thought it was cute to, you know, give these really bad veterans the nod ahead of this, you know, just stacked freshman group that they brought in. But, you know, guys like Trey Palmer and Coy Moore and, you know, Devontae Lee and guys that just shouldn't even be on the field were getting snaps and getting reps. I think that they just are realizing, hey, if we want to get serious in the SEC play, we're probably going to need to get these freshmen on the field. So Deion Smith, I expect great things here moving forward from him here shortly. But Xavier Worthy as a guy, I mean, you know, I mean, I talked to him up, what, all summer probably? And yeah, it's just cool to see him already getting some targets. He had tons of snaps in the first couple weeks, didn't have a ton of targets, but against a softer matchup in Rice, he was actually the alpha wide receiver for them all game long. At one point, he actually accounted for over 80% of the Texas offense in this game. In kind of junk time later on, a couple targets that don't really ever see targets got some junk work, but he had 7 catches this week as a true freshman for 88 yards and a score. So love to see him already being the alpha on this young offense that needs a playmaker. And he separates. Sark is going to love to utilize Xavier Worthy for the next 3 years, and he's going to coast to day two capital, if not even better than that.
So I've talked about, I think it was with you, I talked about how like Texas is like the JV version of Alabama. So who do you think, what former Alabama great would you comp Xavier Worthy to?
Devontae Smith, maybe. You know, because he's got the underweight questions as well. Like he came out of high school and he was, you know, like 160-ish, like 6'1", 160, a yak monster with burning wheels and the ability to track the ball downfield on deeper targets. Yeah, I think he's Devontae Smith, except he's going to probably weigh more than Devontae Smith once he leaves college.
And they haven't, even though he's small, they haven't just been utilizing him in the slot, which is interesting too. Like he's kind of been all over.
Oh, yeah. So Xavier Worthy, yeah, he's the real deal. So, again, buy high. If somebody's trying to sell him right now, I don't know why they would in your league. But in a deep college camp league, just don't, because don't do that, because he's going to be going off and going to coast to day two capital. I know it's early, but he's got the skill set, speed, the yak ability, the scheme. He's an alpha wide receiver as a true freshman. Sign me up. But a few other wide receivers that are breaking out, and you like Charleston Rambo, so I'm going to let you talk about him for a second.
Well, I mean, he was everything for Miami this week. And I mean, that's maybe not saying a whole lot because they struggled, but he was the one bright spot. I mean, Derek King had his ups and downs, but Charleston Rambo, he was making contested catches. He was making guys like fall over trying to guard him when he was running routes, so he'd get wide open. Like he was doing everything. We were texting back and forth when he made that one touchdown where he was like sandwiched in between two players and he just grabbed it. Like he's a tough football player, and I think there was a little bit of a knock on him because he left Oklahoma. And so myself included, I was like, well, are you just scared of the competition and taking off? And maybe he just doesn't want to have to worry about playing time when he knows he's better than everyone else. Like,
yeah, for real.
He's, I mean, like, super good.
Shows up and he already has 33 targets in three games.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we were talking before the show. Like, I just think he's going to, like, from a production profile, like a dominator rating, I just think he's going to smash because who else are you going to throw it to? Harley? No, you're going to look for Rambo. Man, they've got some cool names.
Yeah, seriously. How are you not going to hit in the NFL with a Charleston when your name is Charleston Rambo and you went to Miami? Man, so yeah, I'm excited about him too, and he's going to get all the opportunities. Some people, again, are going to have maybe some weight questions or thickness questions with him, but he's fine and within the range that's acceptable for sure. But I hope he just continues going off because he was already averaging like eight targets per week coming in to last week, and then he grabbed like 12 catches for 156 yards and two scores on like 17 targets. So.
Against the good Michigan State
defense. Yeah, absolutely. Like,
they're not going to be playing a defense that tough most weeks this year.
No, exactly. So Charleston Rambo continues to rise. He was kind of high for most people when he was at Oklahoma. Definitely dropped out of the elite range of ranks, but now he's rising once again. But let's talk about a few other guys that we're concerned about, and then we'll talk about just a few more names that we're pumped and about rising, and then we'll kind of wrap up the show here. But I mentioned last week, just in passing, Kevin Harris and Jalen Berger, both running backs. Kevin Harris, South Carolina. Jalen Berger, Wisconsin. At least monitor Berger. If give him a couple more weeks before you completely drop him off the face of the planet, but things are not looking good there as Ches Malusi has kind of taken the lead role there, it looks like, for now. Maybe Berger's not healthy, but Kevin Harris, South Carolina, is in a mess of a committee. We wanted them to be high, but I don't know. I've already dropped them down my ranks, and I'm sure you and Matt and Curtis will probably follow, right?
I've been disappointed in both these players. One of the things I don't understand about Wisconsin is that nothing exciting is happening in the running game. Like, it's very just kind of ho-hum, get your 3.5-4 yards, it feels like.
Yeah.
I have not watched a ton of it.
No.
And so I'm wondering why he's not – I mean, it's got to be injury-related, but I am wondering why he's not getting – more of an opportunity because what they're currently rolling out there isn't like,
no, it's not,
you're not going to beat Michigan. You're not going to beat Ohio State running the ball for 4 yards a carry.
No, he did have a good amount of touches in his one game. He did not work at all in the first week, but yeah, I am concerned just because of, where he currently lies on the depth chart, at least on the ones that they published for Wisconsin. But it's hard to get excited about that offense as a whole right now, in terms of efficiency. But keeping it at the running back position, John Emery is done. He was a 5-star back in 2019, if you guys even remember who that is. But I think some people were holding out hope he would have a good season this year and somehow rise like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But John Emery is now missing time due to academic issues for LSU. And so he's completely dropped off the face of the planet, well outside my top 200 at this point. But I just wanted to mention him. I don't even want to waste a conversation on that. That's just really an update if you haven't been paying attention. But Eric Gray, I want to bring him up because I've been ranking up Kennedy Brooks, his counterpart, and I've been moving Eric Gray down because, frankly, neither of them look crazy impressive, but Eric Gray certainly doesn't look like the potential we thought he had.
Right. And this was the concern I had going into the year and why I have zero Eric Gray is just Kennedy Brooks is there. The offense is sputtering in general. It looks like their offensive philosophy is throw it deep or Spencer Rattler scrambling around and then running for 6 yards. Like that's about it. When they do start getting the ball rolling there, when they start running the ball, Kennedy Brooks has been more efficient than Eric Gray. So it's hard to see where Eric Gray is going to separate himself from Kennedy Brooks in a way that will give him the production that he needs in order to get any sort of decent capital. Like there's other running backs that we've been talking about that are way more exciting than him. And I just think it's a, things don't change. It's a pretty gnarly outlook for Eric Gray at the moment. I think his longest run is like 18 yards, like his, yeah. No explosiveness.
Yeah, and that's what really has changed this year with Oklahoma's offense. We haven't seen the booming deep plays that have actually connected. And they've got the short stuff to like Mario Williams, a true freshman there, a short stuff to Marvin Mims in the receiving game. But they just haven't been crazy efficient at all, which is weird for a Lincoln Riley offense. But Eric Gray, it's hard to project super high capital for him at this point, especially given like what you said earlier, the NFL is just not giving high capital to a bunch of players. And Eric Gray is certainly not on that trajectory, at least not next spring. He'll have to come back essentially. He's either going to have to smash and have like a Trey Sermon type November, December, or he's just going to probably return to school because he's not going to have a good enough profile to actually get drafted much at all.
Right. Right. So, and even then, like, I mean, even Trey Sermon would be like the best possible outcome. And it's not like he even got a great.
No, and it is funny that we're comparing him when Kennedy Brooks looked better than Trey Sermon pretty much the entire time they were both on the Sooners. And Ramondre Stevenson looked better than Trey Sermon when they were on the same team. And Trey Sermon only really had like 1 month to go off of, and they got that capital. It will be an interesting situation if the team actually commits and gets better, more efficient. Gray does not look like that. So he's plummeting down my rankings in fantasy football right now.
Would you feel comfortable being maybe a step ahead, risking that you make a bad choice and start offering like if you had a share of him, would you try to trade him away for something? Or at this point,
right away.
Yeah.
Trade him immediately for like just one of the freshman wide receivers we just talked about. Like, seriously, probably straight up. Like, I'm probably going to shift my rankings because, like, I just am so off of Eric Gray at this point. I just don't care.
Yeah. Maybe we need to have someone weigh in that was more of an Eric Gray truther, because I know both of you and I had questions coming into the year. I'm curious if they'd still hold out hope. Because if there are people out there that do, you should take advantage of that and trade him immediately.
Yeah, if I had an Eric Gray, I'd say come take advantage of me, but I don't. So, But anyway, just a few more names end on a positive note. Okay, let's just talk about how Drake London is destroying every chance he gets. Like he injured his back like just what like a week ago, and then he shows up and is like, I'm fine. I'm just gonna get another like 12 receptions and just dunk on people all game long. And by the way, I'm gonna do it with my backup freshman quarterback. The dude has like 43 targets or something crazy through 3 games. So he is the offense for USC through the air. Former basketball player. He was actually playing 2 sports at USC and decided to finally commit to football because, well, he's going to be, you know, a top 50 overall pick next spring. But that's where he's rising towards. Like his profile was not great coming into this year in terms of his overall like adjusted production index, dominator, yards per team pass attempt, touchdowns per team. Like no number was great on paper, but we loved his game last year in peak moments and in comeback moments, making a big play, being a touchdown scoring machine. Now he's the absolute alpha. If you had to put an over under on his draft slot next year, the exact pick, what would you say?
Like what number in the first round?
Yeah. Hey, if it's the first round, yeah, for sure.
I'm pretty aggressive right here. I'm going to say 17.
Whew. Yeah. That is aggressive, but at the same time, man, I mean, some of these guys, like even Treylon Burks, like I like him, but same kind of frame, maybe similar athleticism, but Treylon Burks is not getting the volume that Drake London is, and Drake London is just going to have way more opportunity to prove to NFL decision makers that he is just a difference maker downfield, in the red zone, moving the chains, whatever you want him to do, he's winning in every single way this year. So yeah. Drake London looking like a first round pick, just absolutely balling. So I cannot wait.
If you are listening to this podcast and you have Drake London and we are in a league together and you think I'm crazy for ranking him that high, let's talk because I'm interested.
Yes. But send him a trade right now.
I was high on him before the year started. I think Brew McCoy being like kicked off the team or whatever is going on with him.
Yeah.
I think that has elevated the opportunity for Drake London because it's him and Taj Washington and not a whole lot else. I know there's a few other young guys there that they brought in, but he's just so good. And when you're a young quarterback, like Jackson Dart, and you, if you can't find guys wide open, you want to throw it to the guy who's going to make those contested catches. Yeah. And that's what he's doing. And he's not going, like, his ADOT is sub 10. It's nothing crazy, but he's catching everything. And unless, yeah, I just am a huge fan. I think maybe it's a bit lazy to do like the Mike Evans comps, but it feels right to me.
It really does.
It's almost unfair. And let's be honest. Name one Pac-12 defense that you think can shut him down.
Not one.
Because I can't think of
one. Doesn't exist. So, yeah. I'm not worried about it. So, he's going to keep absolutely dominating down the stretch. A few other kind of, second, third, fourth tier names to just take a note on that are also draft eligible for next year. Calvin Austin from Memphis is currently on pace to maybe perhaps lead the entire country in receiving yards and doing so with a ridiculous average depth of target and ridiculous marks everywhere in terms of efficiency. Yes, he's very slight, very skinny, but he's going to have a decent peak production profile when he's all said and done. Really efficient. Kenneth Walker and Tyler Goodson. I think those are both guys, though. Running back Kenneth Walker for Michigan State. Tyler Goodson, running back Iowa. Yeah, I think you were both. You were high on kind of both those guys coming into the season, weren't you?
I mean, they fit the profile of running backs who do really good in college. I fall in love with, and then don't get draft capital.
yeah, that's
about
right.
I have a lot of those guys.
Yeah,
you know, Benjamin is the OG right there for me.
Yeah,
but man, Kenneth Walker has made a name for himself with these huge explosive plays to start off the year. He's been on ESPN a lot, so there is a little bit of hype building around him, and for good reason. He looks really good. And then Tyler Goodson has just been doing this for a long time. I think Iowa getting the respect around the country that they do or don't deserve, that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
But it's putting his name on the map, and he is running so well. And he's an electric runner. I've been really excited about him. Ever since the beginning of last year. And I could see these guys having... I don't know if they're going to get the draft capital that I want them to get, but I see their value increasing pretty significantly.
Yes.
Like if you just look at it like as a stock or something like that, like I want to buy stock in these guys because I think that their trajectory is heading upward, even though Walker's been having these highlight reel plays. I think that's kind of what you can expect from him moving forward. He looks really, really good. He hasn't done a whole lot in the receiving game, but they honestly haven't had to use him there because he's been so efficient running the ball.
Yeah, they just say, hey, run for like a 75-yard score, and then we'll just run you into the ground the rest of the game too. So,
right.
Yeah, seriously, he really, really has impressed this year, and he was really good even at Wake. Wake Forest just had a trash offensive line. But a couple other guys, 2023 guys, actually, I'm pretty pumped about. Another got really late in a lot of leagues. Jalen McMillan, Washington Huskies wide receiver, finally saw action this week. He was nicked up during camp, missed some time already this year. First game back, grabs 10 receptions for 175 yards and a score. Looks like he could take advantage of a lot of opportunity there. I know it's just one game, but if he has that kind of lead role. I know they've been leaning on tight end Cade Otton, but he's not exactly a separator. Jalen McMillan looks like Amon-Ra St. Brown, but perhaps even better. So I'm really excited about him. And then Blake Corum, running back Michigan, averaging like 8.5 yards per carry and keeping a five-star running back on the sideline in Donovan Edwards for the same team, Michigan. So Blake Corum, I know Matt Wispay, a guy, listeners probably know, he's on the other show with you, Stefan. Matt Wispay, just shout out to you if you're actually going to listen to this week. He was all over Blake Corum, even last year. And, Corum looks like he has, the speed and athleticism to break big plays, but, just enough size and strength to win inside too. Corum's probably going to be a name that continues to rise throughout this year as Michigan finds success after success after success, apparently. But are you a fan of either of those guys before we wrap up here?
I think the players, yes. And I think that they're – it's interesting because the thing that scares me about McMillan is John Donovan, the offensive coordinator for the Huskies. If he had his way, they'd run the ball 95% of the time. And Jimmy Lake is a former defensive yeah. coordinator at head coach. And what we saw from Washington to start the year is what I was afraid of, is where they would just try to bang the ball up the middle with these running backs that aren't great, but are fine. And then they just try to win each game 13-7. And it wasn't working. Like, they lost to Montana yeah. with yeah. that strategy. So I'm hoping that John Donovan A gets fired. No, I actually want Washington to be terrible. So I hope they keep John Donovan around for a yeah. long time.
There you go.
I think if they see the difference that this last week had, like, on their offense, because it was night and day. It was like a light switch went off. If they do let the quarterbacks there, I forget his name. Not who cured. I was hoping he would get the start.
Yeah, Dylan Morris.
Morris, yeah. If they let him throw the ball a bit, then absolutely. But Blake Corum, he's on a team that is running the ball a lot, and that works well for him. And they've been very successful. I think Michigan's found an identity running the football. That's what they want to do. They want to run the ball 60 times a game and just hit you in the mouth and get out of there with 300 rushing yards. And Blake Corum is going to be a huge part of that. And because they run the ball so much, there's enough for Haskins to get his, for Corum to get his, and then they can let these freshmen come in behind them too. So to me, Corum's in a much better position, like a much better environment for success than Jalen is. But hopefully for your sake and for Huskies fans, this last week has changed their offensive philosophy a little bit so that they're not just, you know, smashing their face against a brick wall play after play after play.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, that's about all the time we have for this show. But listeners, if you want to check out more info on all these players, I'm doing some write-ups over at RotoViz right now. And me and Stefan, Matt Wispay, and Curtis Patrick are consistently updating our Devy rankings. And we're going to be doing so some this week and next as we continue to just ingest all the new information just to sift through in all of college football with the 130 FBS teams and a ton of players that we want to get excited about, some that are actually dropping as well. But Stefan, I guess you'll be doing the show later this week on the College Again feed, and you've got another special guest coming on with you. But are you guys going to be talking about some NFL stuff on that show?
Yeah, we're going to be doing dynasty stuff, so we're going to be looking at rookies and second-year players, see what our expectations were, how people are performing, look at some of that. So it'll be a fun time.
Nice.
So yeah, check that out.
Good. Yeah, it'll be kind of like a little bit of this, what we did today, except instead of on the college side and risers and fallers, a little bit on the pro side there for you guys. So be looking forward to that. But I hope you guys are enjoying the start of both the NFL and college running side by side. It's like my favorite time of year. But we'll see you guys next time on another College to Get in podcast.